Welcome to Rock Power. Rock Power is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are located just west of Fluor Drive on the corner of Southwest 30th and Park Avenue. This ministry is dedicated to the proposition that the Bible is God speaking to you, that God never changes, that the Holy Spirit never changes, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there is only one church and one church age, and that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And as He, Jesus, is, so are we in the world. Since God never changes, and Jesus never changes, the Holy Spirit never changes, the Word of God never changes, His plans and purposes never change, and since we are still the church, then we, the people who make up the church, are in need of revival, because the world is in desperate need to see the manifestation of the sons of God. The purpose of the Rock Power program is to stir up the church towards repentance and revival. Today we're going to be talking about John 3:16. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The title of our study is God Still Loves the World. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world," but I'm concerned that Christians think of that in the past tense. We've got to come to the realization that God didn't just love the world. God loves the world. God loves people. God doesn't just love you. God just doesn't love us. God loves people. So in this series of lessons, we're looking at 8 reasons why the church is not winning souls, not loving the world and winning souls as we ought to.
Number 8, stay full of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God." You know, we talk about being Spirit-filled. People say, "Is it a Spirit-filled church?" Well, I'll tell you, are they speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus? Submitting to one another in the fear of God? If they are, they're a Spirit-filled church. If they're not, they aren't. You see, we've confused being baptized in the Holy Ghost with being filled with the Spirit, but they were filled over and over and over again in the book of Acts. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not the same thing as being filled with the Spirit, because frankly, there were people filled with the Spirit in the Bible who weren't even born again, such as John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's birth, or from his birth. What the Bible says? The Bible says that when Mary spoke to Elizabeth, she was filled with the Holy Ghost. She wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost, but she was filled with the Holy Spirit for that moment, for that purpose of saying what she said. In the Old Testament, there were people filled with the Holy Spirit to build the temple, to prophesy, but they weren't born again, and they weren't baptized in the Holy Ghost. My contention is, even on the day of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then they were filled. "There appeared unto them divided tongues of fire that sat upon each one of them." Jesus said you'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. I believe they were. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when Peter and John were arrested, they'd already been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. But it says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 4, "Then Peter filled with the Spirit." That means at that moment, he was filled with the Spirit. Why was he filled with the Spirit? Because he needed to be. He yielded to the Holy Spirit. Later on in the same chapter, they were let go and they went back to their own company and they prayed. And when they prayed, the place was shaken and where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Same people who had already been baptized in the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 were now filled again. Ephesians chapter 5, where it says be filled with the Spirit, really is in the present tense continuous, and it means being filled with the Spirit. So if it was a one-time experience, Paul didn't know it. Saying continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. We see over and over again that as they needed to demonstrate the gospel, as they needed the boldness to speak the gospel, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice they weren't filled generally before it was needed. They stepped out, got themselves in a place where they needed to be filled, and they got filled. Well, you know, I've been watching Law and Order, and I haven't got filled yet. No, you won't. You don't need the Holy Ghost to watch television. You need the Holy Ghost to turn it off. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25 for a moment in the light of what we've just said about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. We're going to say these are 10 Christians. Now, 5 of those Christians were wise, and 5 were foolish. The word wise means they had understanding. These 5 of these virgins, of these Christians, had understanding that the other 5 didn't have. 5 were foolish. They lacked understanding. They lacked something, some sort of knowledge. You know, the Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But when the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. How many of you know the bridegroom's, from our perspective, delayed? But they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, those without understanding said to those with some understanding, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Now, if it was salvation, they could have given them some salvation. They could have led them to the Lord. If it was being filled with the Holy Ghost, they could have laid hands on them. But I believe it's they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. If we look at this Greek word translated foolish, it's the Greek word moros, and of course we've probably heard many times that that's where we get the English word moron, but I don't care what English word we got from it. I want to know what other Bible words came. It's informative sometimes to know what English word came, but that doesn't mean that the English understood the meaning of the word. But the Holy Ghost, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, we find a direct derivative of this word. Romans 1:21, actually in verse 22, but Romans 1:21 says, because although they knew God, so they were virgins, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Remember one of the marks of a Spirit-filled church, thanks always. But became futile in their thoughts. Their minds weren't renewed. They didn't set their minds on things above. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. That word became fools is the same word, a derivative of the word they were foolish over in the parable of the 10 virgins. They became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things or any other thing man wants to make. In other words, it's only an image of God. It's not the real thing. We find the same word in 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made, here's our word, derived foolish the wisdom of the world? But the one that's the most enlightening is found in Matthew 5:13. The very same word translated fools in Romans 1:22 and foolish in 1 Corinthians 1:20. Very exact same word. Matthew 5:13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt, in other words, the Christian, has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot. So what word is the same? The word lost his savor. Literally it says, if the salt has become foolish. Very same word. If the salt has lost its savor, if the salt has become, the very same word, become foolish. In all these cases, they became something. Jesus clearly says that salt can be good for nothing. What is it? They've become foolish. What caused them to become foolish? Well, if we go back to these other verses, they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And in verse 8 it says, King James says, our lamps have gone out. Every other translation says our lamps are going out. The correct tense is going out. In the process, in the continuous present tense process, their lamps were in a process and had been in a process of going out. The word going out is found 7 other times in the Bible, and every time it's translated quench. Our lamps are being quenched. Our lamps, our light is being quenched. Well, what was quenching it? They had no oil. So, interestingly enough, but this word is in the passive voice. The passive voice, I'm just going to quote you from a dictionary, Greek lexicon. The passive voice represents the subject as being the recipient of the action. As an example, in the sentence, the boy was hit by the ball. The boy received the action. So when they said our lamps are being quenched, they weren't the one directly quenching it. Now the boy was hit because he was in the path of the ball. But the boy didn't hit himself, but he stood in the path of the ball. In that case, it was an accident, but you don't accidentally run out of oil. You don't accidentally get full of oil either. You have to purpose. They allowed their lights to go out because they allowed themselves to be out of oil, but it was an action that was done to them, which means they didn't put their lamps out. They just allowed someone else to put their lamps out. See, someone put out their lamp, but they sat there and allowed their lamp to be quenched. Maybe they were in a church that said, you don't need any more oil. You got all the oil you needed when you were saved. Maybe they were in a church that said, once filled, always. Maybe they were in a church that said, we're a Spirit-filled church. But they weren't being filled with the Spirit. Maybe they were in a church that said, when you got saved, you got all the oil there is. Maybe they were in a church that said, God doesn't give any oil anymore. That oil was only for the apostles. Maybe they were like the little girl who came to church, and all she had was just the covers of her Bible, and the pastor said, honey, you've lost your Bible. You know, the binding came out. All you got left is the cover. She said, no. She said, every time I come to church and you tell me something's not for today, I tore the pages out. She said, I expect to lose the covers today. But she sat there and allowed someone to tell her what the Bible wasn't and put her oil out, put her flame out. Maybe they were full of cares of the world. Maybe they thought Christianity was all a mental exercise. But whatever the reason, the five were foolish enough to let someone keep them from having the oil they needed. They were the ones who paid the price.
If this message has helped you, awakened you, alarmed you, or blessed you, and you want to share that with us, you can email us at rockpchurch@aol.com or write to us at Rock Power Church, 3119 Southwest 30th Street, Des Moines, Iowa, 50321, or come see us Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., or Friday evening at 6:30 p.m.